Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 183. It's been the week of death, apparently.
So we'll
get to that. But yeah, Pat's news is the saddest Pat's news in a while.
The Batman.
Yeah. So
I only know about one.
Yeah. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
Rich,
Colin.
You already introduced me.
Come on, Josh, keep it going.
So nice you said twice.
So the second time was just like Colin.
Yeah,
I don't know. He sounded more peppy. He's like,
you think so?
Colin.
Yeah.
You just think everybody's sad.
He's all jazzed tonight.
It is a sad.
Well, because two people died. He gets excited about that sort of thing.
Even a customer brought that up today. Said, so are they going to rip on you because somebody died? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, they probably will.
Well, that depends on your reaction.
He's like, yeah, I am the reaper. So.
Yeah.
If you're a customer and you think Colin is picked on unfairly, please come to the podcast and hang out for a little bit, and you will change your tune.
I think you have your next poll for the website.
Do you think Colin's picked on unfairly?
No. Yes. Watch that thing fill up.
Yeah.
The most votes ever.
But at least you'll know people are listening that way.
I posted the poll yesterday, and like immediately there were votes on there. I was surprised how quickly.
I saw it this morning. There was 53 votes when I saw it.
Now it says this one you can vote for multiple books, and each one you pick counts as one vote.
Yeah, no, I saw that after I voted.
It's not 73 people. It's 73 picks.
No. Which makes sense for this poll, because you're trying to get an idea of, like, all your books.
Well, Adam, I do know how to work a poll, so that's why. That's why it's set up correctly.
What was the final answer for the Rita's Ice flavor?
The opposite of what you got.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you got mango, so it was blueberry.
Okay. Just wondering. Sorry.
No one listened to the poll. The previous poll, Dr. Fate edged out Bizarro and Prez for the the favorite DCU.
Were you at home just voting a bunch of times before you closed the poll? Just so
I voted for Prez.
Okay,
I voted for Dr. Fate.
Yeah,
over and over.
Yeah, he kept going online and voting, clearing his cookies.
He's not smart enough to clear his cookies.
Where are these cookies?
Kept going to my computer looking for cookies. I couldn't find it.
He's looking on the floor of his house like, I thought I left some cookies here.
Well, they're ground into the chair. That's why. Got to bring that up, don't I? So I guess we can start talking about death already. Now,
sometimes when people get to
the one that you didn't have on is the guy who dressed up as Batman.
Oh, yeah, no, I did hear about that. Yeah, I did hear about that. The Baltimore Batman.
Yeah, was hit by a car while he was working on his Batmobile.
Was his Batmobile a Lamborghini?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he had recently bought a replica of the 66.
Yeah.
What did that guy do for his, like, main profession?
He was actually, I forget what he did, but
he owned, like, a trash
like
company
a
or
business or something like that.
And he had a lot of money, and he retired pretty early, and he decided to start a separate company, which was basically where he did this. He dressed up as Batman, and he went around and to children's hospitals.
He did a ton of
like
outreach.
That.
I mean, it's really sad.
He would actually, they said he spent over $25,000 out of his own pocket for things to give out to kids at the hospital, Batman stuff.
Yeah, give out, like, little bracelets and things like
and
that.
And he just, you know, did a lot of stuff like that. But, yeah, it was just really sad.
Yeah.
And he was actually part of the documentary called Legends of the Dark Knight, which is, I believe it's on Netflix still, but I'm not sure. But he was part of that documentary on people that actually have been so inspired by the character itself to go out there and do more with it. And it was really interesting, you know, putting that much of his own time and money into it,
hear,
not just retiring
about,
and going to the beach
really
or something.
It's a great thing, and it speaks to, you know, the power of the heroes. I know Grant Morrison, you know, has talked about this kind of stuff, but the power that these characters can have in real life and how they can affect people in real life. And, you know, not only him, you know, loving Batman, but how he's using that to do good in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it inspires little kids, and you know, they're fighting, and you know, for their lives, and
You know, that he went that far
into,
you know, as I said, with his own money and went out there and did
had a Batman costume that's better than some of what we've seen on screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too.
No, it's just, it's impressive to see someone take something they love that, you know, if you saw just a random person walk around dressed like a Batman, you think it might be kind of goofy.
Yeah.
But this guy took what he loved and was able to do something he really enjoyed and also, you know, help out a lot of other people at the same time. It's really sad.
And even some of them on that documentary that do what you just said, like, they go and dress up, but they don't have the money. But they go and, like, there's one guy in the documentary who runs marathons as Batman, and he raises money for certain things. And it's just, you know, they're putting a little more into, you know, they're just not sitting around buying the stuff, reading the stuff. They're actually going out there and using the character to make other people happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's something. So.
If I dressed up like Batman, I'd be locked up.
Sure. You dress up as Deadpool when they go out to Children's Hospital. It's just like, that doesn't work. It's got to be
get
like
my
Batman.
Face all scarred up. Look, I got right
here. You're always like, we tried.
Yeah.
Your heart was in the right place, man.
Yep.
Pass on to be your mascot.
No.
FYI.
But, no, just, it was really sad.
Yeah, because I think he was, like, 51.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He was really old. Yeah.
No, I guess his car broke down in the fast lane.
Yeah,
and somebody just rear-ended him, I guess. And, like, it rear-ended him. He was standing in front of the car trying to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that didn't make sense because I thought Lamborghini's engines were in the rear. But he was in front of the car, and the car rolled over him.
Yeah. Maybe he was looking for the engine and got confused.
Yeah.
That
Batman's never confused.
Yeah. He's
was
Batman.
It the Lamborghini he was on, or was it his?
No, it was. I think
he
said it was Lamborghini.
Show,
yeah,
I thought I read or something along those lines.
He did have that. He did have a replica, as Colin was saying. They did. I remember there was a picture on it.
That would have been in the. Yeah, that engine would have been in the front.
Yeah.
But,
well, if it was the afterburner, it'd be in the back.
That's true.
Oh, wait, which replica are we talking about?
The 66.
Oh.
Yeah.
And transitioning to Batman 66, unfortunately today, Yvonne Craig, who played Batgirl, passed away.
That was a hell of a transition.
Thank
nice
you.
Segue.
You thank you.
For her death?
No, for that's
man.
Somebody else's transition.
Man.
Quit trying to turn your death thing into somebody else's death.
You're
thing.
Sitting there clapping as he mentions Yvonne Craig died.
He's really trying to get out of
it. He is.
I was just stunned that you were clapping for it.
She was like one of my first TV crushes.
Nice to make don't light of someone's death call.
Yeah.
I'm not the one applauding
it. I'm glad her death could be the punchline for your joke here.
He's laughing. Oh, man.
So you, Colin.
I would have died if he spit that coke out.
Yeah.
Like, if he just shot it right at us.
That would have been great.
Nobody does that in a comic book store.
Nope. I dropped it. I dropped it. I didn't spit anything out.
All right, but let's show some respect to Colin. We're talking about somebody who died.
Yeah.
Now go on. Hey, Colin, that's...
Too soon,
you were
Colin.
Actually doing...
Yeah, exactly.
Soon, Colin. Jeez.
You're so getting sued.
Man.
But not only was she Batgirl, I was reading her IMDb thing today. Apparently, she was also the Green Orion slave girl in the original Star Trek.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I did know that.
I did not know that until I read that. I'm like, oh, man, that's two things.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunate. But.
They brought her in, if I remember correctly, they brought her into the show because they were trying to get more ratings. Because their ratings were starting to drop a lot for that show. They brought her in to do this role. Now, it was popular, but not enough to keep the show going. I think that's why the show, after that, it was done. That's what they did.
Yeah, because
so
I said
that
was. I always look forward to when she was on the show because at the end they'd have her bat.
Yeah,
the bat cycle go across the screen.
Yeah, you can
like,
always
right,
tell which. And like she swung by on the rope to kick the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Like you always knew which episode she was in.
I always liked how her costume. Unlike the real Batgirl who had red hair, her costume
had the
red hair
for it. But that actually kind of makes sense and works better.
Because then you don't stand out. It's just like, because it, really, if you put her picture right next to the Batgirl picture, it totally looks different. Just because you added that red wig.
Yeah. Yeah, and she always had the short.
Because she had short black
That's
hair.
That's how Batwoman's current costume is.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Because she has short red hair. And then her costume has
the
long red hair.
That's right. It is like that.
See, so she inspired that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sticking with DC, but a little bit different.
less of a good segue.
Not, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, he can't. He tried.
Yeah,
he tried. Can't have a great one.
Thank you. NBC is picking up a show called Powerless, which is supposed to be a comedy based in the DC universe, where people work in an insurance office. They don't have powers, but it's basically dealing with the aftermath of, like, Man of Steel. So it's going to be like The Office set in the DC universe.
Is it kind of like, what is, Marvel has a group?
Damage control.
Okay.
Is it kind of like that, where they go clean up, or is it that they deal with the business part of
They haven't, not much has come out about
that actually
it.
Actually sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's I'm like, this sounds like this has a lot of potential, and it could really be funny. You know, when you think about everything, you know, like the trillions of dollars of damage that would have happened at the end of Man of Steel, and, you know, some insurance company is not going to pay that out.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
So
I didn't know that was announced.
Yeah.
Past news informed.
See, here you go.
Today.
They
get out from under your rock.
And he's very sensitive about that, unlike some people.
Yeah.
Rich.
Rich doesn't talk, and we just bag on him now.
Just like, I love death. And he's like, oh, God.
And they announced that Firefly is going to be on Gotham next season, but it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a female version of Firefly.
Fox would never have something called Firefly on it.
That's why I got very confused. I'm like,
it just
what?
Won't last. It just won't last. No, so
all the scenes will be mixed up and out of order, and afterwards it'll be like, it just didn't work.
She's apparently going to come from a family of professional arsonists, which I didn't know that was a profession, but apparently it is. And then I guess
it was more of a hobby,
like very abusive.
I think it was for the Firefly or the original Firefly.
I guess, like, you know, you can get paid to burn down a torture building or something.
Yeah, I guess you could.
I guess it's like an assassin
that's not really
for property.
Arsonist, really?
That's a good way of putting it. An assassin for property.
Thank you.
That's good. I like that.
I'll get my something.
I feel like we're a support group.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Except for this one. This is negative.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
He collapsed for all the wrong reasons.
That's true.
Yeah. Somebody died.
Oh, yay.
Thank God they're dead.
Well, one less person ordering brisket, more for me.
You'll get more.
And kind of finally, D23 was last week. Mm-hmm. And so Marvel Studios didn't show up to Comic-Con and kind of... The thought was, oh, well, they'll have stuff for D23. They didn't.
Not a whole lot.
Not really. I mean, they showed some concept art, and there was a small clip that they showed for Civil War, but it really didn't show a whole lot. We did get a decent picture of Crossbones on a bridge shooting, but that's really it. And apparently there was other footage that was shown that hasn't made its way online, or if it has, it's been taken off, or I just haven't seen it, whatever.
I saw a video, this might have been from it, which they were talking, like, the guy came out talking about Wave 3, I guess, which was Doctor Strange in that, but
yeah,
I thought
Kevin
it might have been an old...
Feige.
Was that part of this new...
Yeah, it was the last thing, like, he...
Which really
I saw,
wasn't
it
much
was
that we didn't know, that's what I was
He was talking about that whenever he brought out Chris Evans and, what's his name, Anthony Mackie?
Yeah. And because Benedict Cumberbatch he's doing Hamlet or something in London, so they didn't have him for that.
If he was doing Sherlock, I'd be like,
yeah.
Okay.
But that doesn't...
I do like Sherlock.
Yeah. Doctor Strange doesn't even start filming until November.
That's strange.
Yeah. It is.
That's worse than... How strange is he?
Yeah, but not, you know, not a lot else came out. They talked about some of the Star Wars stuff just a little bit. They
had Harrison Ford there.
Yeah, they did have Harrison Ford. They changed the name of Rogue One from the Star Wars Anthology Rogue One to Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Wait, it was originally called the Star Wars Anthology Rogue One?
Yes.
That's a stupid name.
Yeah.
But the concept of it actually sounds pretty interesting. It's supposed to take place prior to A New Hope and be a mission where they steal the plans for the Death Star, which, you know, obviously was referenced in the first part. So I guess we're going to see a bunch of Bothan spies get killed.
They released a cast photo of them in costume.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I've just been hoping Porkins gets his own movie, or at least a comic book.
Did you know Porkins was Lieutenant Eckard
in Batman? Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah,
yes. Really?
That's Porkins.
Yeah.
Who's the guy who's like, you know, what does he say? What does Joker say?
Think about the future.
Think about the future, yeah.
Yeah, that was Porkins.
He was Eckard. Porkins. Wow.
Oh, wow.
I never knew that. So, now I can see it. My mind is blown.
Support group. This is, yeah. This is what we are. Yeah. So, yeah. They enjoyed it.
Clap.
Nice pageant clap.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Colin, what'd you read?
Me? Not much. So I'll jump in on others. Well, I read one, Beauty. Anybody else read Beauty?
I read Beauty.
That was a neat book. The idea is there's this disease where if you get it, all of a sudden you become beautiful.
Ooh.
Your face smooths out. I think it says it elongates.
You lose weight.
You lose weight. All blemishes are gone and stuff. So it's a disease that actually some people then try to get.
Yeah, there's like sex clubs to get, because it's an STD.
Yeah.
So there's sex clubs to get it.
Well, and there's this one group of, was it the police or the FBI? I forget which one. But they're kind of in charge of keeping an eye on it, seeing what's going on, new cases and things. And all of a sudden this girl who has beauty is riding on this subway car, and all of a sudden she leans her head back and what's it called? Spontaneously combusts from inside. So
but
then,
there's no damage to the outside.
No. So then this team has to investigate, and as it goes along, the one lead detective realizes that he now has it.
And it looks like his wife had it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he got it from his wife.
Where did she get it from?
Who knows?
Who knows?
That's probably what he wants to know as well.
Because the other possibility, the CDC shows up. And basically quarantines the area, and they have a back and forth with, you know, this is our jurisdiction. No, it's, you know, like the typical cop stuff. And the CDC lady says, have fun in decontamination. So I guess it's possible that he could have contracted it that way. But his wife being the other way, I think he would have gotten it.
How did they realize they have it? Just suddenly they're
his
beautiful?
His appearance changed in the mirror when he went and looked
in the
mirror.
Yeah, he was kind of, not grizzled, but like, you know, he looked like, you know, your stereotypical detective. You know, with the 5 o'clock shadow and the kind of grizzled look on his face. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, like he's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah, it was really interesting concept.
Weren't comic book shops given condoms to pass out with the book?
Yeah. Yep.
What did you do with all yours?
I just got one. I gave it to a big image guy.
A big
a guy who buys a lot of image books, most of the image books.
I like how you were asking, like, what did you do with yours? Like, the interest that you...
Sandy listens to that. Keep it on a DL, man.
Oh, I doubt that.
Someone's going to listen to this and talk to
some people.
Did you know Colin had a condom?
Some people have better uses of their time. So, to listen to our support group.
That's true. What else, Colin?
That's it for me. I read a couple others. I'll jump in on somebody else. So somebody else go. I didn't read. I only read a few.
Okay. Rich.
Had a busy weekend.
We'll go backwards.
Look at you.
Oh, my.
Someone's got to be in charge.
Rich jumping in.
Tad's podcast.
I'm like Colin. I only read
I'm dealing with home stuff.
One of them I know is going to come up, so I'll wait on that one. So let's see. I read Arcadia is number 4, which this is a boom book. And I don't know if I've talked about this one before. The overarching backstory is there was some huge virus taking down humanity. So they were able to, like, upload the consciousnesses of the great majority of mankind into this, you know.
Would they be conchi?
I guess that would be a good... I'm a little rusty on my Latin, but...
consciousnesses?
I'm confused.
So, but into this big, you know, virtual world.
But if there's
world,
multiples of them.
I think it is the plural.
It's
also
like moose and moose.
Yeah, the collective conscious. The group
I thought
conscious.
It was meese. Yeah.
Okay. Wrong but,
animal. That's only when you're a cat.
So they're in this virtual world called Arcadia. And then there's a cadre of people alive who maintain the power and servers and stuff. So they're called, affectionately referred to as the meat. So in this one, previously the president is trying to get Arcadia to
basically like shut down for like 8 hours a day. So in effect, sort of a sleep period or a nighttime, mainly to save power. So the meat guys are trying to work on doing that, but of course the people inside Arcadia aren't real big on it, so there's something going on with that.
Is this like a HAL type thing where it's...
I wouldn't say so, because you don't really... It's like the people inside are just like they're the same people. It's just okay. They happen to be inside there now. But what happened is somewhere along the way in this one, like two people are gone inside of Arcadia, and you can't die in there, or allegedly you can't die in there. Mm. So they think that, you know, someone in there, there's sort of this Mr. Big guy that kind of shows up and sends a message to the president. Might have figured out a way to, like, make people disappear. And then there's a girl in there whose, like, parents are being, you know, interrogated, and her brother is, like, have some special funky powers that you don't really know about yet. But she's trying to protect him, but they're trying to get him. So it's kind of, you know, they didn't really define it. But that's kind of where it is, you know. So it's being it's only the fourth issue, it's kind of... Everything's sort of fairly open-ended, but that's kind of what's going on. But it's not too bad of a book, I don't think. And then, now that I've completely muddled the story for everybody. And then, the...
Wait, there's meat? Wait, what?
The second one, yeah, I just like the nickname, the meat, there. So,
meat. You're the meat from now on.
But,
I came in at the wrong time. I was reading my notebook.
I was giving it a pause just in case you wanted to jump in. But then the second one was Providence, which is the Alan Moore book, issue number 3. And this is, again, documenting the journey of a reporter named Robert Black. Well, I guess he's sort of no longer a reporter because he quit his New York newspaper job to go to New England to follow some occult leads that he has gotten from some people in New York City, and he wants to write a book, so he's kind of tracking this stuff down. So we're in the third issue, and we have yet to make it to Providence, but he's closer because he's in New England at least, so we're getting there. But that's ultimately where he's going to end up, I think. But in this one, he's in Salem, and he's trying to track down some guy that guy in New York who had this occult Arabic text, you know, said, "Yeah, I got it from some guy up there in New England." So he's kind of backtracking to find the origin of this document. And so when he's visiting Salem, though, like, everybody he's involved with kind of has this sort of weird look, like they have really wide set eyes, and the foreheads are sort of sloped, and the noses are kind of flat and stuff like that. And he kind of notices it, and it's sort of
why
kind of
no, I'm really sorry. No, I was sitting in the chair today looking over at the table, and the Ms. Marvel trade is there, and it was drawn by David Lopez, who did She-Hulk, and so when I saw that, I'm like, oh, you can tell it's him because the eyes are really far apart, and that's all. So it sounded like you were describing a David Lopez drawing.
Yeah, I
apologize.
I don't even know who does the art on this book, so I couldn't tell you. But so he basically links up with this guy who's like meeting with some other guys, and they have some stuff that they sort of hide when he shows up, you know, so he's not sure what's going on. And he takes him down into some tunnels where people used to be smuggled into the islands, and I think it's people like them. Allegedly, they are of like South Seas ancestry mix, and that's why they look different, although that doesn't really get defined too much. And then the kind of the main story ends with this sort of really weird dream sequence that he has, and they keep going back to there being gas leaks. So he's having this dream, and for anybody who's not real big on same-sex relationships, I wouldn't recommend this book, because it definitely is into that a little bit. As far as this guy's proclivities, I guess I should say. And then, so he has this weird dream sequence where, like, he's naked and trying to track down the source of this gas leak, and it ends up in, like, a gas chamber with all these fish, dead fish in there, but they have the faces of the people in Salem, you know. And so he kind of wakes, and then at the end he basically is on this bus to another town with a bunch of these sort of weird-looking people, and they're looking out towards this island, and they're like, oh, yeah, tonight's the run. They're talking about, you can see things moving in the water, and he's like, oh, are those seals? And everybody kind of gets freaked out a little bit, and they're like, yeah, they're seals. And that's where it ends. And then, of course, as with the previous Alan Moore books,
this doesn't sound like an Alan Moore book.
Yeah, there's about eight to ten pages of handwritten, like, journal where this guy's coming up with ideas and talking about different things. And then at the end, he reprints a newsletter from the church in Salem there. And it's written in, like, this, like, a weird local dialect English, so a lot of misspellings and stuff. but it makes reference to these things like, you know, well, the rut's going to be coming in July, so everybody needs to get ready for that. And it references this island. So it's kind of leading you to believe that there's some kind of interspecies thing going on with those people there, which is referenced in this occult Arabic text from previous issues. All right. So now everybody should be completely caught up with that book. So
it's kind of weird. This is one of those ones. Is it good? Like, was it enjoyable?
I think so. I mean, it's like,
if you're into like gassy fish people, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like he references like a lot of, you know, like, well, you know, I once read this, you know. So I've backtracked a little bit from like the first one, but I mean, really to like the last, you know, there's. Yeah, I mean, he's...
I bet this is one I'll read much better in trade.
I'm thinking that when we were talking about it last week.
Yeah, so what did Alan
I think
Morse
I'm out of chew and
yeah.
sold out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, when we were talking about that last week, I was thinking of that as I was reading this one, because this one I actually purposely read, like, the day we come, because otherwise I would not remember anything about it.
I'm surprised Alan Moore came out of his wizard cave. So, it's just like, I have a book.
Yes,
yeah, so
is this something he's like currently writing? It's not.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. It's issue three. I think the previews say it's like of 12.
He talks, so it's supposed to be like a year.
He talks
so much shit about comic books now. I was so surprised to see these writing.
He was so irritated about before Watchmen as well.
But I mean, in
the movies and all that.
But I mean, in the first one, you know, when Colin referenced, you know, talked about previously, like he mentions the King in Yellow, which was like Robert Chambers, who was sort of like a between. Like between Poe and like 20th century like horror writers, he was like the main guy, or some people thought, you know. So, which is the King in Yellow is actually just a collection of stories about that all reference a book called The King in Yellow. So there is no like real
King
of the book in Yellow, King in Yellow. Yeah. So he's making all these obscure literary references, which is a little bit above me, kind of, but. You know, so it's interesting because even just to go in and like Wikipedia, all this stuff.
You have to have
like,
a degree in English
know all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
was this the book that Colin assigned you, the homework book?
No, that was
Mayday, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Mayday because he just wanted to know what I thought of that one wrapping up. So, but this one's kind of the same thing. Like this guy's trying to write a book, so I'm assuming that's
Professor
where it's going. But every issue, he's, like, thinking there's a gas leak, and you know, and he's having these weird dreams, or is it really a dream, you know, kind of thing. And so it's kind of, you know, I'm not really sure where it's going to go, but I think it's pretty good. And it's kind of like we had talked about, too, like, the art is very, you know, kind of subdued, although this one, like, when he's in Salem, it's even more, you know, kind of depressing almost, you know, kind of and stuff. The colors are a little bit, and then it's pretty easy to tell, like, when he's dreaming, you know, because that's always black and white for some reason, and that kind of sort of a, I don't know, it's not even sepia, I guess, some kind of weird thing, but so, but yeah, it's pretty good, but yeah, it probably would read better in trade, and I've talked way too long, so I am finished. Thank you.
Adam, since you always wait till the last, you go, I don't have anything, everybody already
talking
about
my
book.
Walking Dead. It was a good recap of what happened in the last issue dealing with the whole head decapitation thing. Yeah, head fence. And it was good, you know, them going back, them dealing. First, they were dealing with the whole situation, just the group that was there at the fence of, you know, who was there. And one person I didn't realize was that friend of Carl's. Who was
Lydia?
The one? No, the
liquor.
Huh?
No, not the. Oh, no. You're talking about the kid, not the.
Who was
not
on
the eye liquor?
Yeah,
sack.
One of the kids was. There was a kid on the.
I didn't realize that there was a kid on the pike.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that that's who that was at that time. But yeah, he was there. Just all of them had something, and then they were starting to figure it out back at I forget what the town was.
Alexandria,
and. Then they show up and they announce, you know, something horrible happened. And that was kind of it. Like, it wasn't really a
huge amount. No, it did end
kind
of like in a weird point.
I kind of assumed it would, this issue would have done that. Because that's just how Kirkman writes, is what he has.
Yeah.
Something big, and then here's the recap of what happened a little bit.
This is the first issue of what would be the next trade.
But I guess that this issue is kind of going to open up what's going to happen now for a little while in the arcs.
Well,
so
I gotta imagine Negan's gonna play a part because he was a big part of what happened.
They're gonna need somebody like Negan to deal with this type of situation.
You know, the other thing is we've already seen her group.
Yeah.
It's not small.
No.
This is not something that they, you know, unless they band together, they really can't fight this.
The only thing I just don't understand about this group is that they don't seem very, I don't know, they just don't seem ready for this. They're stealthy, which they have that for it, but I don't think that they, you know, they dress up as the walkers, everything, but I just don't think they're as prepared as a group that's so organized as Rick's group. The only thing about Rick's group is they become weak and their time of being away. And that's what they used to say in this story is basically, I remember where Carl, when they first got there, was just like, you guys are, you're fencing yourself in, you're acting like
there's nothing on.
Yeah. And you're disguising it when there is something going on, and this isn't how we need to deal with it. In a way, this is where the Carl always believed that
they need to stay strong,
But they've taken it to the extreme, this group.
Yeah,
I mean, do you see something different with that group?
No, I don't know if this is intentional on Kirkman's part. I may be reading way too much into it. Uh-huh. But it's kind of like if you look at Afghanistan or Iraq.
Uh-huh.
Not every Iraqi, not every Afghani, not every walker is a threat.
Yeah.
But there are some mixed in, and you can't tell who's who.
Yeah.
So you don't want to just start wasting bullets and draw herds, all that. But, you know, that's there, and now that's a problem that they're going to have to deal with. Okay, how can we tell them apart and make sure we're getting the right ones without drawing a bigger threat to us?
Yeah. And that's, it's just,
by the way, I'm probably reading way too much into it.
No, I don't think you are. And I think, actually, this has been the most interesting group that they've had to go up against. Because I think they've went to another extreme that it's just like, I like the extreme that they went
in. It made the walkers a threat.
Yeah. And I don't know, just something about like this run has actually sparked my interest back in the book. So I think it's a little more interesting than it was.
They're brutal, and I mean, they're human. They're brutal. They think everything. But it's really the first time since the prison where walkers have been a true threat to them. Because, you know, you could occasionally get bit or something like that, but unless there's a big herd, nothing's going to happen.
But that's kind of the... I'm sure. I was like, is that me?
Who's vibrating?
You're good. I don't know. And then there's also not only Rick's group and Maggie's group aren't seeing eye to eye right now. They're not. Well, they haven't got to the point where they have. They don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think Rick knows what Maggie did yet.
Yeah, and it's getting there. I remember seeing one of the covers and previews of them going up against each other. So they're not going to agree. There's a lot of weakness in these groups right now. And I think that's what's going to change. And that's what always happens. They try to go and do something that make life normal, and life isn't normal anymore. And that's the whole thing of what Carl was saying when they first went there. It's just not normal.
Yeah.
You know, quit acting like it is. It's not a bad. This issue wasn't, like, as I said, it's a recap issue more of anything. It's not like your most exciting issue. It ties together with the last one really well. Lando.
Yeah,
good book.
Yes. I liked it. This is my surprise Star Wars book that I was just like, I really didn't think they'd have anything to go with on this book. And they're telling a pretty good story. Second issue, it had enough in it that didn't seem like the first issue. Mm-hmm. They're just keeping a story going. As long as they do that, I'm good. You know, I like the character. I like
it.
You
feels
know.
Like something Billy Dee Williams would have said.
Oh, yeah.
The
writer
book.
Is writing it just like how it
is. Charles Soule.
That's right. Charles Soule was done.
And the only thing I can kind of say I'm kind of about is the fact that this is a heist book at this point. It's Lando. You would expect it to be that.
Yeah.
But Vader is also doing a heist now, too.
Book,
so it's kind of like.
It's a little different of a heist, though. It is. It's more this whole idea of stealing the Emperor's ship.
Yeah,
is
kind of like a zany heist.
And it's,
I imagine Vader's on zany.
He doesn't even really want the ship, though.
No, he
wants.
He's not going to get the ship. He's going to get what's in the ship.
Yeah, and that's what was revealed to us.
All those Gungan artifacts.
Gungan artifacts.
That's right. Yeah,
there's a statue of Jar Jar Binks on there. He really wanted it.
Yeah, I like that. It's really building a little on the characters as we know them, and it's not just a series of callbacks as the regular main Star Wars book is.
it's expanding the mythology and setting.
Yeah, it's just, I love the cast. I love the cast with Lando and Lobot and
Dognot.
And I love the new character, that new bounty hunter they introduced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like a badass.
Yeah.
Chaneth Chaw.
Yeah.
They need to bring a nun noob, though. The guy with the big jaws.
He's going to get his head blown off. He has to. Have an Akbar.
Kit Fisto.
You don't like Kit Fisto? He had crazy tackle hair.
And I like the scene with the Star Destroyer captain after he fails and takes out a gun.
Oh, yeah.
And the other guy's like, what should I do? And he's like, I hear the rebellion is higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because he didn't do his job. Well, he knew.
It makes sense because he would be killed.
He would be killed, and he just was like, "Yep, done."
Take out the middleman.
But that's like, it's not only that he didn't get Lando, which is a problem, but three Star Destroyers got taken out. I mean, this is not a minor problem. This is pretty big.
And I just sort of
so many things just feel right. Like it felt right when they blew up that whole. Like space dock.
Yeah.
Because
that's what they're going to do.
I think this book is, it feels like Star Wars. It feels new to us as readers that we're not getting a bunch of the same thing, which has been the problem, I think.
It slides into the time frame that we're familiar with while still giving us something completely new.
The only thing
we know is that somehow Lando and Lobot end up in Cloud City.
Maybe it's because, you know, we just don't know Lando that
I think, and the whole thing about the...
see more about him.
Yeah. And the main thing about the Star Wars book, and I think it's not necessarily Marvel's fault, it's much that we already know what's happened with those characters, so it doesn't seem as interesting when they're telling us a Luke Skywalker story parallel to everything.
Yeah.
So we can't, like, we're looking at...
And they're also, those are characters that we've seen so much of. There's been so many expanding universe tales about that it's hard to create something new and fresh with those characters, but with Lando, you can.
The only thing we know is he has to end up at Cloud City.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that's
where it's getting. Yeah. This book, I think, is just telling us how did he get there, or something like that, if it does that. Because it's a mini, is it?
I think it is.
Yeah, so I don't know if it gets so much to that exactly, but it's fun. That's the whole thing.
It's a fun book.
Yeah, it's very fun.
It's the only one of these new Star Wars books that I've went back for number 2 on.
Yeah. I've liked Vader. Vader's just, it's been a real favorite of mine.
Yeah. Like, it was just the art I didn't care for.
Yeah, the art, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not a huge fan of
the art. Story was good.
The story, I think, has a good story, and they're introducing new characters to us in this book. And Darth Vader, and we were talking about that last time, Darth Vader's not even really the main person in the book.
Yeah, it's more Aphra and the droids.
Yeah, and the droids, you know, just, it's different. Secret Wars, number 5.
What?
Mm.
I didn't love this issue.
That finally came out?
The only thing it did... Yeah, finally came out. The only thing this did, and I don't think it did it very well, though, is it kind of gave you more of an explanation on the whole thing with Molecule Man, which you wouldn't have really known about, again, if you didn't read...
Yeah.
Avengers. This is the first issue that I read, and I felt like I was just completely lost for not reading those other boys.
Okay. Well, and my concern... as a retailer for this has brought in a ton of new people. I mean, I sold like 30 copies of that new Avengers book, but I'm selling 100 copies of Secret Wars. So when they hit this book, they're going to be,
one through four was a pretty like smooth
you
know, intro. And then suddenly this, I'm reading, I'm like, I have no idea what the hell they're talking about, what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's very, very confusing.
First of all, when I first saw it, I thought it was Namor.
Because
the way he was drawn,
and
he was
very
upside
bright,
down.
And
it was
you
like,
really see
like,
any feature. Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing about that new Avengers issue that they had, it should have been called Prelude to
They all were.
You should have made
They were.
Well, I mean, it should have been like the Zero issue. Yeah. Like, it should have been the one that you were just like, you have to pick this up. And they didn't do that. They didn't really say, pick this up. So you're not obviously going to pick it up.
Or that should have been a free comic book day issue or something.
That's what I agree, instead of us getting that Avengers book that was just like, it was awful.
Yeah.
And if they would have gave us that as a Zero issue, just like DC did with the
Convergence.
Or what did they call it? Divergence.
Yeah, Divergence.
Those
Divergence
books, I think there would have been as much interest in those.
Yeah.
You know, or into this story.
Well, I mean, obviously there was interest there. He said he's selling 100 of it.
But
those people are going to be really confused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My concern is, do they come back for 6? Or since Marvel is pushing so hard...
I think...
for this new launch of new number ones? Are they just going to go, you know what, I don't know what's going on here anymore, I'm just going to wait
until
and jump in.
I think they will,
the
because
there.
They've already invested themselves in it. But that's, yeah, that's
and
a
I,
really...
And I don't know that the tie-in miniseries are grabbing people.
Oh, no.
I think a lot of them, if you're reading, you're like, I'm reading this, I'm reading Secret Wars, I'm not sure.
Really, the
does all this really seem to matter?
For what you were reading. So if you're still wanting to read some Marvel characters or your favorite Marvel characters, at least you have them. But still, it's not
I don't
the
even,
same thing.
I, no, I think that was their plan. I disagree. I wouldn't even say it goes that way. I think it goes, if we don't do this and we don't do a bunch of tie-ins, we only have one book to sell.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
We need to make something up so that Colin can order 500 copies.
So he has
of,
something.
But, and it just doesn't seem like there was a good plan.
Oh,
like
is.
We were talking, I think it was before the podcast, about how... The, you know, there's war zones and battle thing, and
yeah.
there's been no battling on Battleworld because the Thors are the police force, and if everybody gets out of line, they cut. You know, it's just, it's not quite what they told us it was going to be.
Here's the problem, and it goes with your planning, what you just said was planning. They wanted to call it the Secret Wars to tie it to an old event.
They
shouldn't
call
have
all these
that.
Books. They should have
gave it. They should have gave it some other name because it has nothing to do with any type of war.
That's the,
major, no war
the majority
happening.
Of these books are tied to old event names.
And the other reason is because this event does deal with the Beyonder.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but this was the first issue where we saw that.
Yeah. Well, except for that Avengers, but
exactly. Okay, but
yeah,
Avengers, so,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But that was one of their issues. Too, the whole Battle World thing has to tie with. The whole Secret War idea. So they had to have something called that. It shouldn't have been called that. It shouldn't have been called anything. If you're not having a war, don't call it after a war.
Yeah.
You know, you could have called it Doom World.
But if they could be building up
Doom
World
Earth. Or... You know, something. But that said, though, with all this, I will say that this has been one of my... There hasn't been a really good event Marvel's had that I've liked. I have liked this event. Like, I have liked the book. It just isn't exactly what they're saying.
Yeah, like this.
I haven't not enjoyed
like
it.
Said,
this There's
was
been
the
issues
first,
that I'm like, this is.
This was the first issue that I read, and I was like, I don't quite understand this. I don't really. Didn't really enjoy this. Everything else up to that point has been fine. The tie-ins have been hit or miss, but, you know, not bad. I mean, I like it overall better than Convergence.
Yeah.
I think Convergence
yeah,
is what you do when you have too much planning and too much of a structure.
I'm enjoying it. Tie-ins probably about the same.
I think the tie-ins with this, the ones that are doing better, are the ones that are more like. Off on their own, where it's just a straight up like Elseworlds kind of thing.
Yeah. That's kind of the thing. Like, it just everything is kind of what I thought it was going to be. It's because Marvel has become kind of predictable with what they bring out. So it is kind of it's exactly what I knew I was getting into because I said, I'm not going to like any of these tie ins. And I've liked some. Some have been surprising. Like that Marvel Age of Ultron zombie book that was interesting. So there's been hit and misses there. Mm-hmm. But really, I've looked at those tie-ins, I'm just like, I'm not interested. Like, I really do want to go back to my stories. I wanted to read Amazing Spider-Man, and I haven't been able to do that for months.
You got 20.1.
Okay, yeah, that is actually a decent book.
Yeah,
I read the last one, but it is a decent issue.
Did you read 20, though?
No, is that the Lisa one? The last week?
He's not talking about 20.1, he's talking about 20.
Oh, yeah.
There is no issue 20.
No, there's no 20.
There was no 19 either.
But
that was weird. Like, I just looked at what's coming up in the next previews, and they're doing another 1.1.
I hate these points. So stupid.
I don't. But how do you have a point coming off of a number one?
There's a lot of things you can do with a point. Wasn't that their whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds.
Yeah, but now it's kind of like
my whole thing
point.
Was what's the point?
Yeah,
that was my thing for that, but. Secret Wars just is, it's been exactly what I expected. I thought I would like the event book. I have. And
I'd like to see Doom more Doom, though.
We're starting
He's,
to.
Yeah, you're
we're starting,
starting
to,
it.
But it's taken, you know, again, in typical Marvel fashion, you're halfway through the event before.
Issue 4. I mean, yeah, almost halfway, but.
Yeah.
There was one weird panel in this where Doom looked like he was screaming. I think it was in the flashback part.
Yeah.
And his mouth was wide open. And I'm
well,
like, I didn't think that mouth open. That
no.
wasn't a moving mouth, kind of like Ultron.
Yeah. When he became a god, he fixed it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But
you can kind of see the path that's going down is now Valeria's going to figure out the Doom killed Strange, and then that's going to be his downfall.
The Fantastic Four is Valeria. I just never liked her. Even when they had her in the 90s, if you remember, 90s Fantastic Four, where Valeria came from the future or something, then, and they brought her into the
movie. But then they made her really smart.
Yeah, that's where I don't like her.
Was it the Mark Miller run? Or
where she's almost smarter than Reed. Yeah. And I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
So two things about this. One is, Franklin could have prevented all this. When you think about what his power set is,
super powerful.
Right. He could have prevented all this. But two, don't you find it strange that in an era where we don't have a Fantastic Four book, where Marvel is doing everything they can to pretend they don't exist, they're the focus of this book.
Well, part of the problem is this is Hickman, and it's spinning out of his Fantastic Four run.
Yeah.
So that's what he was setting all that up during his Fantastic Four
don't
run.
You think Marvel would have said no?
I think, I think...
Especially
this is how I think
the
this
time
is
that
happen.
It's coming out coinciding with the movie, no, we're not going to do this.
I don't think Marvel cares that much. I think Marvel has no problem saying, like, well, this book's going to come to an end, but I don't think they care enough to be like, you can't use
or as long as they didn't tell the executives who were in charge of everything what the structure of it was.
This is where I think this book is going to end. I think this book is going to end with Reed, Sue, maybe the kids sacrificing themselves and not existing into the recreation of Marvel. I think that's where they're going.
No!
Because, I know. I just have that feeling because, well, which ones have we seen in the pictures? We've seen Johnny and Ben, and that's it. I have a feeling something's going to happen that they're going to have to, they're going to sacrifice themselves.
And Ben's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So I don't
and Johnny's now an Inhuman.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because they were married with Crystal. Terrigen Mist, right? Not cosmic rays.
Yeah, it could be.
Everything has to be.
It wasn't cosmic rays; it was Terrigen Mist. They flew.
You
through.
Know,
it was
Inhuman Marvel doing all this ridiculous.
Oh, bumps.
Earth 2 Society. Earth 2 Society. It's very different. Like all these characters have come back after this. They've taken whatever. I forget his name now from Convergence, his planet, and they
Telos,
and they've turned it into they're trying to turn it into a new Earth, and that's where this war is happening. So they keep jumping back and forth, flashbacks of getting to the planet.
So how are they getting building materials and
the
all
ship?
That?
The ships were, I guess, large enough that they're taking apart the ships and building it. I don't like that.
The ships weren't that
they're
big
not
to
that
build
big
cities.
To build a city.
Yeah,
I haven't figured that quite out yet either, but. They've rebuilt with all these ships like a new Gotham.
They built it on rock and roll.
Well done, sir.
You got a clap.
It wasn't heartfelt.
Why? Well, we give him a clap.
I know.
Takes it away. Like, no claps for you.
It wasn't a very nice clap, guys.
It was okay, I guess. What?
Chuck's sitting there shaking his head at home. Be careful.
Anyways, the whole thing is that they're kind of in a civil war on this planet where they're deciding that one group wants to turn it into Earth and get rid of the species that are already existing on this planet. The other group does not. They're just like, let's just make do with what we have.
Yeah, because they have the DNA of everything,
so
right?
They can.
Yeah.
But they... deciding either they do or they don't want to. Terry Sloan tries to do it in this issue, and everybody's trying to stop him from doing what he's doing, and in this, somewhere along the line, he's assassinated and killed, and they're wondering, okay, who did this? And I think this is, the death of Terry Sloan is what's going to spark up
the Civil War.
So, it's interesting, like, the whole idea is, okay, we have a planet now, but now the superheroes are just like, well, which way are we going to go about this? And they both have different views.
Is it the same planet from Convergence?
Yes. Okay. So it's the same planet. They're wanting to... I mean, Telos made it how... He gave it plant life and all that, but they can use their machine that they had, that Batman, the Earth 2 Batman had, to terraform it.
Yeah.
And certain ones don't want to, certain ones do. So I think it has potential to be a really interesting idea after all this Earth 2. But it's a lot of fighting. Earth 2, all they do is fight all the time.
It's like Battle World.
Yeah, it's like a Battle World. Yeah, right? A real Battle World. But it's good. I really think if you were enjoying Earth 2 before this all happened, and you stopped for some reason, I don't think you had to. It's really worth picking up. If you have never picked up Earth 2, I mean, you should. It's a really interesting book, but you can jump on here. So it's worth doing that. Batman Superman. Batman Superman. Good. Yeah, I liked it. I like this little dynamic between him and Commissioner Gorgon.
Yeah, this issue, it felt better than the previous ones. Like, it feels like he's starting to get a handle on writing this Jim Gordon Batman and depowered Superman dynamic.
Yeah, and this is Greg Pak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's writing a lot of the Superman. Well, at least action.
Pak, who's on art with this?
I don't remember who's on the art now.
Because it's Greg Pak and jumping all it's Pak and Cooter on action.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's on the art. Is this the one where they're showing Commissioner Gordon with a mohawk, though? He kind of has it shaved all on the sides.
Yeah, his high and tight's very high.
It changes depending on what book he's in.
Depending on what it is, I'm just like, why does he have a mohawk? But in this, in the last issue, it dealt with the subterranean people.
I think he had the tight mohawk when he was in Batman.
I think he did, too. Yeah, and I think that's what he changed it to. But yeah, he was dealing with the subterranean people. These subterranean.
Mormon?
No, kind of. Okay. Well, no, not really. They live underground. That's all they have in common.
Subterranea.
Subterranea, yeah.
Unobtainium.
They're wanting to take this energy source, which is basically that thing that Doc Ock was creating in Spider-Man 2. You remember that big sun? That's what they're wanting as their energy source. And
like Spider-Man 2, it's very unstable.
It's very unstable. So they don't agree with them taking it, but Commissioner Gordon, Batman, wants to... He's afraid that they're just going to want to take it and we need to fight with them, where Superman's trying to think more diplomatically. And he's trying to say, you can't take this. He's wanting to explain to him why they can't have it. Because it is unstable and it's going to hurt everybody in the long run.
But he wants to try and find some way to help them also.
Yeah, like he wants to help them at the same time.
And that's where they're kind of at odds, where Jim Gordon, Batman... You know, says that he believes that Superman always does the right thing.
Yeah.
But his interpretation.
Because he talks to Lois Lane throughout the middle of the
book. His interpretation of what the right thing is isn't always right.
Isn't always the right way. And then at the end of the story, Superman's like in disguise down there as one of these subterranean people. And while he's at the meeting where the leader, which I forget his name, it starts with a U, it's like one of those old names. Yeah. And he's in the underneath, and he has a kind of a secret weapon, and it turns out it's Aquaman.
Yeah,
and that was
and
like,
there
wow,
are humans down
that?
There too.
There's, yeah, there were humans that during the whole Batman Eternal stuff, the prison, I guess, during the earthquakes and stuff like that, Gotham Prison opened up to tunnels underground, and they escaped
they took
down
refuge
there,
and
then they kind of let them join in, but they kind of treat them more like servants.
Then, I didn't get that.
Well, because but they didn't like the idea of them, the subterranean people, doing anything with humans, like talking to them at all. So I didn't think. I thought they treated them.
Yeah,
a little
I don't
lower
know. It seemed like the leader, Urker.
Yeah.
I don't know why that
he
name
seems to be wanting to
so
help them.
I thought you were
maybe
say
not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah, it was Urkel. Steve Urkel was running.
Carl.
Carl got any cheese? it's turned into a TGIF. Remember dinosaurs? Full House, Uncle Jesse.
Dinosaurs had probably the most depressing ending of any TV show ever.
Right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, anyways,
they should not have ended that with the end of civilization. I just would have forgot about that.
It was the end of that. But that threw me off.
Sorry,
but it seemed like when the leader was talking to them, it seemed like kind of like brought them into the fold.
He seemed to maybe I'm using the wrong maybe not servants so much, but I don't think he treats them exactly like himself or like he treats his people. He doesn't treat him badly, I wouldn't say. Because
they all seem pretty jazzed
to be down
there with
him. They seem to like them, yeah, but they feel protected by him, which they weren't feeling at Gotham. And they feel like it's better than Gotham because Gotham is so horrible.
Yeah. It was good.
It was a good issue, yeah.
Good writing, really, good art, interesting story. I like that it's tying back to the subterranean stuff from his early Action Comics issues.
Speaking of which, Action Comics was my next one.
This is good.
It kind of ends, not necessarily ends, it ends the whole standoff in that little neighborhood that
I don't love how the standoff ended. Like,
it's kind of odd with the whole
shadow people. It was kind of a cheap twist to make the big douchebag cop guy a shadow person.
Into a shadow person. Yeah, and I wasn't really expecting that.
I don't know.
Still.
I felt like
it seemed kind of cheap of how they did
it. He was like, it felt very relevant, the story he was telling with, you know, the cops against Superman and those people. Now, I did say previously, I still stand by it, that the conflict felt a bit unearned, that it was just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I guess now that you find out this guy was a shadow person, that's, you know, explains why it was so ramped up so quickly. So I guess that part makes sense. But I wasn't expecting that to be
how it went. It happened really fast.
And then suddenly everyone's like, all right, well, hey, we're cool with Superman now.
Yeah, we're good. He's a shadow guy. What?
We're going to try to save Superman now from this shadow.
Yeah.
Shadow guy.
And I don't know how they thought they were going to do that.
Yeah.
They were going to shoot it. Shadow.
It was good. The art's fantastic on this book.
The art is really nice. Also, the coloring's really nice.
The color's great. I was expecting a little bit of a twist with one of the characters, but it didn't pay off in this issue. I still think it might.
Yeah. It might pay off where one of the characters, one of the main kind of protesters in the whole neighborhood that he was trying to protect gets stabbed by one of the shadow people. So I guess they can, you know, use their shadowness to stab things. I kind of thought it too when I saw it. I thought, well, maybe that's how they become shadow people or something like that. Was this the first time we saw the mayor in this book? I just don't remember.
They didn't
blow her up very much. But they play up the mayor as being kind of she kind of
shadowy
talking. Well, kind of, yeah. So she kind of
shady.
She kind of talks to Superman on the phone, and, you know, she acts like, oh yeah, well, you know, we're looking for this guy who is the bad guy cop that Josh was just talking about, and we're looking for that. But in the end, it turns out she's kind of running the shadow
organization.
Oh. And she's kind of infiltrated the city, not just that, but the police force, some of them. And I like that ending where it's one of the cops who's just like, oh, well, he might have been a shadow person, but he was okay on my book. And then when she finally gets in there, it's just like, oh, you're shadow people. Holy crap.
We were in the academy together. He's a good
guy. And then she runs out of her office shooting her gun, and they take her down.
But then there's Clark right there.
Yeah, and he's just like,
with his whole posse.
Yeah. So I like the idea that he's weakened. He's leading a group of people from the city to stop the large threat who's infiltrated the city.
He's really busy. Like, I almost wish that these books, as much as I don't want to cross
over, he's got a lot going on.
I almost wish these books were cross over, because it doesn't make sense to me that while unless he's depowered for a long time, he's fighting the system and the shadow people and the mayor over here. He's fighting the subterranean people and trying to help him out over here. He's trying to find out what's going on with Bruce.
Superman, Wonder Woman.
He's trying to find out what's going on with Bruce and Batman.
Oh, yeah, he was in that.
He's everywhere.
He's just all over the place.
He's
got his Superman robot.
He's racking up the miles right now.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Oh, he has the bat cycle.
Oh,
no, wait, didn't he blow it up?
Maybe. I don't remember. Was that Batman Superman?
No.
Was that action?
Yeah, it would have been Batman Superman last
issue. Yeah, because that's when he was in Gotham. So he would have taken it then.
Maybe he blew it up after he painted it. Gave that sweet paint job.
Yeah, he did. He painted it and everything. He also bought one somewhere. Remember, he like bought a motorcycle in Action Comics
station.
Right when he showed
up. That was like year 41.
So he has a lot of motorcycles just lying around. So one of them
he's gonna build up his own cave.
Yeah.
Once he gets back in the Fortress of Solitude. What was motorcycles?
All right, now, Batman, number 43.
Why do you sound like you're a bit apprehensive about this?
I had one issue with this book.
Yeah, you know what my issue with this book is?
What?
You have an issue with it.
It was a good book. It was good.
Yeah.
There's a butt in there.
Not a continuity issue. It was just the kind of within the book itself, where there's this flashback of Alfred talking about bringing him back and talking to him.
Yeah.
And they were in the manor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have been in the manor. Manors, they're out of there, remember? Because at the beginning of Superman, or of the Batman story, before he goes up against...
Maybe they're in the townhouse.
No, it did look like the manor.
It was the manor. They had the clock. So he was like, oh, if you turn it, it'll go into the Batcave.
Yeah. Because
he was about ready to show him, remember?
Aren't they...
Isn't it Arkham Manor?
Never got it back, because he doesn't have his money. And they mention that in this book, that he doesn't have... He's, you know, doesn't have any of that.
I mean, Alfred seems like he has some money.
Not enough to buy the manor, but... See, I found a flaw in this book, and now it's like...
Okay, but that's a minor...
It's a little thing. Look, that's what I said. That's a nerve flaw.
Let's find a real
it's
flaw.
I think they need to... He could...
I don't know why.
It's a little odd that they
I was under the impression,
on.
For some reason, that Arkham Manor was no longer around.
But he still doesn't have it back. I get what Adam's saying.
He still doesn't have it back.
He should have just gave it back to him once he was cleared.
I don't see the whole...
That's one thing that still bothers me. Like, after Batman Eternal, he should have, like... gotten back Wayne Enterprises and all of his.
Well, we know he didn't get back Wayne Enterprises.
I know he didn't.
Powers is still
I know he didn't.
It.
I'm saying he
should. That's what they have mentioned.
Yeah. Like once everything was cleared up, it's like Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
He should have been poor because Bane broke in and used a
no,
tablet.
No, like they
to,
foreclosed everything the next day.
That doesn't happen.
Look, his
anyone
power gets
bought
shut
a house
off.
Knows that's not how it goes.
I've not paid my electric bill, and they don't shut it off the next day. It's
after
usually
they hear this podcast, they won't.
Well, I mean, you know, it's
they're listening to it. They're just like, oh, yeah, he hasn't.
Foreclosure proceedings that's take months, like, and you
okay.
know.
But you know, it wasn't turn my it fault. On. I was set up. Sorry,
our money well, now.
As long as the power's now.
As long as the power.
Inmates are living there now.
How's this all? I don't know.
You can have the clock. Take it to the penthouse.
Take it over there. It won't open the cave. It's attached to the cave. You move that clock, they gotta leave it. It's the doorway.
Yeah.
No, it's a little thing, but the book itself was really interesting.
Yeah. I like this direction, and I love that it tied back to that Scott Snyder and Sean Gordon Murphy story.
Yeah.
With the 27.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was that whole thing where he created a machine to clone himself.
Yeah, and the clones.
And I kept thinking, I didn't remember what book that was exactly, but I was just like, I've seen this already, like this machine. So, I thought that was really cool that they tied
really
that
good.
All together. But this whole book basically explained that this book was good because it explained what was happening with Bruce, like when he came back.
Yeah.
And he comes back with the idea that he does have, like, almost amnesia.
Yeah.
He died.
It's his brain has been
he died.
Rewritten.
He was regenerated because of the was it Dionysus?
Or whatever it was.
Which also means,
that also
is
means
Joker,
a Joker
out there somewhere.
Yeah, Joker has to be still out there.
Which I think is why they put this Mr. Bloom out there, because I'm not going to say
Mr.
it is
Weed.
The Joker. Is
I thought it was Mr. Weed.
No, Mr. Bloom.
Oh, okay.
He's
like
weed.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right. Yeah,
like
yeah,
weed.
Yeah.
But I think that's why they threw him out, because with the mask on, he kind of looks like the body type of the Joker. So I want them to think, but it's just like, oh, yeah.
The way he was drawn, I thought more Scarecrow. I know he's not the Scarecrow, but like especially the one where he stabs the Penguin. That looked very much like a Scarecrow.
He didn't remind me of a plant. He reminded me of the bone guy from Zero Year. You remember the guy who grew bones and they would stretch out? When he did that whole weed thing, it was just
when
like,
you said that, I thought you were going to say Jack Skellington.
Jack Skellington. Yeah, it was reminding me of Jack Skellington. No, he reminded me of that. But, I mean, it might have just been the art that was similar.
It's a good villain. Like, he's sufficiently creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing with the Penguin.
Yeah, that
he
was
just,
good.
Like, sends it through.
Yeah.
So, I doubt the Penguin's dead, but...
Oh, he's dead.
You think he's dead?
Like, Two-Face is still dead.
When did Two-Face die?
Two-Face killed himself in
Batman and
Two-Face. At the end of issue 5 of that arc. And he's been gone since. And that's he died in that with no fanfare. Like, no one talked about it.
Probably because no one believed it really would.
But he's been gone since, right?
As far as I know. I mean,
right,
I haven't seen anything in there. That was Tomasi, though, that wrote that, wasn't it?
I did not like that book at all.
Was he in Batman Eternal?
But yes, it was. It was Peter Tomasi. No, he wasn't involved in Batman.
No, yeah, I don't remember him being in there.
Seen him since that arc. That arc wasn't great. It wasn't great because
I just didn't like.
You didn't need to try and tell a five arc.
I think they're trying to say, well, that's where I don't like, that's one of my biggest problems with New 52 is that they can't pick and choose, like, well, is it going to be continuity? Can we make it continuity?
You can, if you want to try and tackle the origin, a different origin for these characters, and do it like Zero Year did, it has to be damn good if you have something like that that's already there that people are going to compare it to.
Yeah.
People were going to compare.
That's when people get irritated.
People are going to compare Zero Year to Year One.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Zero Year was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But the second they decided that five-issue arc, they should have known people were going to compare it to Long Halloween, and they did, and it did not match up
and it was
in any way.
Well,
sorry, we got really off track.
No, I get what you're saying, though.
You're right. He's probably not dead, but they have shown that they're willing to kill off some of these villains.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, like with the Joker, Snyder's already said he's not going to do another Joker story. Yeah.
But
so
I think
to make him kind of disappear is okay. But he can't get rid of the Joker, get rid of the Penguin, get rid of Two-Face, you know, all of a sudden kind of the marquee villains are gone.
It was smart for him to kill the Joker in that way, but then tell a story, doesn't mention the Joker at all, but plants the seeds to allow the Joker to come back for someone else.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's going to make, you know, one hell of a Joker return.
Book, right, and it's whoever takes over when he goes.
And I wonder if we have, like, a Joker working at a children's center somewhere.
I hope not.
As a clown.
As a clown. You're like, I don't like this clown. Get him out of here.
No face. Oh, I know his face is back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has his face.
Never really explained that either.
That one they never explained.
It's those mysteries
because
that they leave alone.
Joker's daughter's still wearing his face too.
Yeah, that's right. That's why they just have to have a new one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard. They just get something white
throw it
on his face.
He bought the gift set of Death the Family and got the face mask.
He came into your store, Colin, and he bought that mask. He was just like, the hair is just kind of odd, though.
Yeah.
It looks kind of fake. But no,
it's good.
I really like the idea of the villain. The villain creating superpowers for one, also using superpowers and trying to perfect them. And he's experimenting on people. He's a very Gotham villain, though. Really works. And, you know, it's really hard, I think, for them to throw in new villains that you're just like, you know, somebody creating a new villain for Batman is, like, not
it's tough.
Task.
Because when you look at, like, the iconic DC villains, they're all Batman villains.
Otherwise, we get when Tony Daniels brought back that villain with the whole winter
I don't
face.
Know why. I thought you said Tony Danza first.
Yeah, Tony Danza.
Hey, oh.
Who's the boss? That was creepy.
And we're not going to hold you closer, Tony Danza.
No, and I don't think he created that character, Tony Daniels, with the girl with the whole letter face, absence. I was just like,
okay.
Oh my God. But, yeah, it's hard to make a Batman character, and, you know, I think the last time they did it well was Bane. So, maybe Morrison brought out some good ones, too, like Dr. Hurt, I thought was a
Court
good
of Owls.
Yeah, the Court of Owls.
Well, yeah, but that's... I think that's a little bit different, though. Because Talon was not as well received. The Court of Owls is kind of the overarching... No, I'm talking about the specific character, Talon itself didn't come off as well. But
Talon that had his own book or Talon from Batman books?
Well,
because they are...
Talon that had... You know, there are two separate ones. But
I mean, there's several ones.
Yes. But
because I thought Talon, like from the Batman books, was a really good. Like,
yeah, I like him as
but
a villain.
But I think the over Talon as an employee, and it's not an employee, but an employee of the Court of Owls, and that's more of an overarching faceless villain. It's you know.
You're saying more that it's because it's an organization, not just the Court of Owls, but the Talons themselves are kind of an organization.
Yeah, it's not one person; it's multiple people.
Yeah, you're right. But still, I think when they first introduced a Talon and showed like
I think it took off.
You know, vicious and
I think it took off as much as
I think they were pretty.
Maybe better, actually, because, you know, Bane.
Well, other than took off other right, than Nightfall, I mean, what really strong Bane? Yeah,
and I think that was it. I think that it was destroyed by not only that character, was also hurt by the movie that they didn't even take the character right, stuff like that. I think that's what hurt that character, and then we haven't since then had a Batman villain that's new that's like that. So, but it has potential. I think it does, yeah. And the art is just amazing. Yes. I know we seem redundant just saying that every time we talk about Batman, but they do a good job. And not only that, the colorist on DC has a really decent colorist.
They have great colors. It's nice to see them recognizing them now. Yeah. And it just, this book did such a good job of tying back to so many different things, and you know, grabbing all these loose threads, and it just it's really it's gonna be sad whenever they're gone.
Their team go, that team is just great. And the last one I just want to talk about was Star Trek Green Lantern. This has been a fun book so far.
Yeah.
And I love who that they're giving the rings to.
It all makes sense.
When the red ring went out, we questioned on the last one, where'd the red ring go? And then they answered that question, and that's, I was like,
it was the Rom. Oh no, that's right. It was the Gorn.
And then
the Romulans got the orange one.
Yeah.
So they didn't really show. I was waiting for him to be like mine or something like that, but he didn't do it. But give it time. But it kind of shows you in this issue where all the rings went.
Yeah.
The rest of the rings went. It also shows that some of them are harnessing this power very easily.
Yeah, Chekhov picked it up like that.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, I can shoot missiles, or as he says it.
General Chang was flying through space.
Yeah, he was just doing it, creating his own, like, I don't know how he knew that, like, he was just like, I can create a
It was like a dragon. It was Klingon.
What's the Klingon planet called?
Kronos.
Kronos, yeah.
Okay. Is it Kronos?
Well, no, that's the moon. The moon of,
I thought it was Kronos.
And this they call it with a Q.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like the Quran can be spelled with a Q, so or it can be spelled with a K.
It's kind of like that, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I took it.
Yeah. And that's where I took it. I just didn't know it was spelled like that. I think they spelled it differently in the movie as well. I think they spelled it as a, but I'd have to see the movie again when they show up at that planet, looking for,
I thought it was K.
Oh, what's his name?
I thought
it was K on the movie, but
yeah. Yeah, I thought it. Yeah, so who knows? But
that could be a licensing thing, though, too.
Yeah.
If it's trademark and they didn't get that particular trademark, maybe they just changed the name by putting it at Q.
But I don't think the issue like it didn't show us. It just basically its job this time was to show you where the two other rings went. But the last part of the book was great.
Yeah, and it's a lot of setup when you get to the last page. You know, the story's going to kick into high gear.
Yeah, here. When Chang basically assassinates
the whole Klingon High Council.
High Council, and then he just thinks he's so powerful, but then it turns out he's not because somebody better shows up, and it's Sinestro.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's awesome that he's in this. But,
and the thing is, that's really a Klingon thing anyway, that... You know, the one that's the most powerful is the one that's...
Yeah. But this whole book is... It's a good idea, because...
It works fits surprisingly
because first
well.
It's all space, and that's the simple thing. But the whole fact that all of these characters do have similarities to Lanterns, you know, that you can have, you know, greed, and you can have a fear with Klingons, and so, you know, it just... I don't know, it just
this
really
book
works.
Could have been... Like, so goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've done such a good job
with
it so far.
It's been goofy enough.
It's been fun without
like
being...
Like, when Bones comes
in,
he's floating around
crazy.
And he just doesn't know what to do, and you're just like, well, that's what Bones should
he
be
He should have said knock, though.
He's just said knock, I know. I was waiting for that, too. But I don't know. It's good so far. I think it's really worth picking up if you're either type of fan or if you're just wanting a new kind of story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of
it's something different.
Yeah,
it,
something
it
different
feels like it stays very true to both franchises.
Yes.
Right.
It's
like
been a
neither
good
one
year
is in service
crossover
the other.
Books, right. Especially with Archie's and then you have this and just a lot of good crossover books that they're done. So.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all for me.
Okay. America Town.
I forgot it was in my pile. I didn't get it.
What's essentially going on is Americans are being smuggled into Buenos Aires, where they have an America town. And at this point, we don't know why they're being smuggled in. and I guess the way it works is they get smuggled in from, they go to Cuba, they get smuggled in from Cuba into Argentina, and it's very black market-ish, where, like, you know, that there's, you know, basement hideouts, and, you know, they got to pay, they're not ransom, but essentially a smuggling fee to be released into and get to America Town. Well, there's a, one of the guys, he's smuggling his father in, and we don't know why yet. They left their mother, and they have a younger sister and daughter, and they're in, I think, Philly, which I can understand why you'd want to leave Philly, but, you know, I don't get the whole other thing. But it's, you know, it's very funny where, you know, they're afraid of immigration raids and things like that. It's almost very much, you know, they just took a spin on, instead of it being, you know, Mexicans coming in and you know, hide houses and all this other stuff, they turned it into, it's Americans trying to get into South America. We just don't know why yet. The art was pretty good on it. It's an 8-issue miniseries. So this was part 1 of 8. And like I said, I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm surprised you didn't read it, Colin.
I just forgot. I had a busy weekend at home.
It's Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop.
La, 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 la.
La, 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 la.
The next one was Rebels.
I read Rebels, yes.
So in this issue, in the last issue, Seth was tasked to get guns and bring them to Dorchester Heights, which is above Boston, because the British have it under siege. And when they get there, we find out it's going to take a lot longer than what they planned. So in this issue, it's moving very slowly. And the major general that's in charge of this is, he looks down on these Vermont guys because he thinks they're backwoods hillbillies. Whereas, you know, he's clearly upper crust from Boston and you know, thinks he's better than them. And at one point, you know, Seth sits him down when he's in his tent and says, you know, you're sitting there drinking tea, but here's the thing, you know, my men are the ones that are doing this. And he goes back and he tells, because the general's main thing is he doesn't like Seth because he's a man of very few words. And Seth says, you know, when I was a boy, I had to drag my father by myself after he had been injured for, and I think it was 2 days or whatever, mm-hmm. in the cold. You know, his father at one point is basically delirious, and, you know, Seth knows he's getting frostbite and this, that, and the other thing. He said, talking about it ain't going to fix it. You just got to, you know, do the thing you can. He didn't say this, but essentially, you can talk about it later. You can talk about why this sucks when you're done. But for now, just get the job done. And this general was very taken aback by it, and, you know, how dare this guy talk to me this way, whatever. But then, when they get the guns to Boston, Washington's men take the guns, and the major general tries to take credit for it, and they know it wasn't him. They know it was Seth, who had made this happen. So this book has been really, really good. Everything from the art, the historical, the integration of real people like Ethan Allen, real battles. They talk about Bunker Hill, the Siege of Boston. All these things kind of interplaying has been really, really good.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of surprised, you know, how much I'm really into the book. I like the backstory about Seth, mm-hmm. and learning about, you know, what made him the kind of person he is. And I like the art on that because it was like real stark black and white,
mm-hmm.
those pages when he's dragging his father home. And yeah, everything about it is excellent.
Yeah, this is Brian Wood does this, and I guess he's from Vermont. He's from the area, and these are basically stories he grew up hearing that he's taken the next step with. And like I said, mm-hmm. this has been an excellent book. I think this was number 5.
Yeah.
So there's one issue left of this arc. So if Colin doesn't have any way for the trade, because this is, it's a really good read.
Get the single issues. There's good stuff in the back.
Well, no, if you don't, no, because
you're sitting there minding your business, playing some backgammon.
No, I just deleted it.
No, I'm merely stating that when number 1 came out, you didn't have a whole bunch.
Oh, I had a bunch. I just sold through.
Well, yeah. Well,
I've been able to reorder. Dark Horse is nice. They overprinted. I'm able to get more.
Oh, okay. Well, then get some more because this is a really good book. And then last one I want to talk about was Amazing Spider-Man 21.1, which was the end of this spiral.
Don't worry, we're getting 1.1 coming, so it'll continue in that because, you know.
Yay.
Or it should be 0.2s, but hey.
So
we're going to have 2 21.1s? That's going to be chaos.
To hell with it. So this was the end of Spiral, and what had happened is Wraith, basically, she went villain. Killed some people. And
now, Wraith isn't... Was Wraith the police commissioner?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And initially, she, you know, her position was, that's been a front the whole time. You know, this is her real self. And that's why she said, you know, even the name Wraith, it's a ghost. It doesn't exist.
She's been going to that comic, I think, since Dan Slott either took over or one of his characters that he used, like, for a while. Yeah. But she keeps jumping back and forth.
Yeah. So she goes to kill Mr. Negative and some of his guys.
Kill me?
Yeah.
And as Mr. Negative,
his profile picture used to be that on.
as he escapes, he uses his corrupting touch on a bunch of people in the city. And they all decide to attack Wraith. So at that point, Spider-Man intervenes. She's like, well, I can't be saved. And he says, right, you can't, but these people can. It's not about you. He drops her off on a roof.
Drops her off a roof?
Drops her off on a roof. And, you know, says, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I'm not going to fight. This is partially my fault for what had happened. Essentially, there was a big gang war going on in that precinct because they had taken out Hammerhead and taken out Flat Top, who were the two crime bosses for the area. So there was like a power vacuum.
What about Phillip's Head? And,
No. So at the end, she leaves her Wraith costume up on the roof, and basically she gives up being Wraith. And Spider-Man is, you know, he's monologuing to himself about, you know, a spiral can either go up, it can go down, or it can just stay in a circle. This, I think, was a better story than what was going on in Amazing Spider-Man. It felt like a more Spider-Man-y type story. A little disappointed with the way it ended. It almost seemed like it needed one more issue to kind of make it work a little bit better.
Well, it had to end because the sequel was waiting.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. The inversion never took place in there. So apparently Manhattan's okay. But it was an okay arc. I do like it better than what was going on in the regular.
It's got a better record.
Yeah. No, it's not that I think Dan Slott's a bad writer.
I think Dan Slott's
I think he's
not.
Tired of doing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Nah, you're right. Yeah. It is.
So, Dave?
Yes, I have some books that haven't been mentioned yet. That's unbelievable what that is. Descender number 6.
That was good.
Wasn't it excellent? That's probably the best thing I read last week.
It's a nice backstory.
Yeah, in the previous issue, we learned that Dr. Kwan is not the father of modern robotics, that he lied. Mm-hmm. We get some backstory.
Did he learn on Murray? He's not the father.
Yeah. You are not.
Yeah, Maury.
Pretty much.
I got a clap, so thank you.
We get a flashback.
About we will not.
We get a flashback about 15 years ago. We get a flashback about 15 years ago with Kwan and his mentor, Professor Solomon.
Shaka Kwan.
They discover a robot millions of years old on this planet, Oskatron, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And Kwan basically stole all this research.
The robot was more advanced than anything up to that point.
Right.
And it was mutilated, like it was ripped in half, but sitting up, it was laid on top of this altar in this, you know, like temple. And when they tried to hook it up to rebuild the AI and try and communicate with it, it was kind of freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they, you know, tried to shut it down and disconnect it, that's when he took all the data they gathered and took it for his own.
And we're also introduced to the robot resistance, Hardwire, which makes sense because you have the bad robots with the scrappers, mm-hmm. and now you have a group of robot resistance fighters, which was really cool, I thought.
Yeah.
And the last page is a big reveal as Tim 21 meets Tim 22.
Mm-hmm. Son of one of the resistance robots.
So
it's good. They're really like building this mythology here.
Mm-hmm.
With these robots, and this is the first time we got to see kind of how Tim 21 could be tied in to these, you know, robots that came and laid waste to, you know, civilization.
Yeah.
Because his programming, his build is based on the data gathered from this, you know, robot that was found in this temple that, you know, Dr. Kwan stole for his own. So it's, they're really, you know, fleshing out this interesting world and the backstory to it. It's been great.
The art's
phenomenal. The story's great.
I just thought the art was maybe getting a little bit too sketchy.
I like it in this one.
I thought it was a little bit more. Wasn't as sketchy the last first few issues, but with the watercolors.
Descender.
Right, yeah.
It's Jeff Lemire and.
Collins'
favorite artist.
Stop that song.
All we are
is dust in the wind.
No claps for you.
Look, now he's closing his eyes. I don't know if I told the story
when I was in San Diego. We were at dinner with DC, and this guy came up and said hi to the DC guys, and I was at the end of the table, and I didn't hear who it was, and I turned to the guy next to me, and he's like, I think he said Justin Green, and I looked, and he was Asian, and I went, Stuart, who was that? He goes, Dustin Nguyen. And I just thought, Justin Green, really close, so I could have met
Dustin Nguyen,
but
you'd have lost
it. I would have.
If you had met him, and he said, hi, I'm Dustin Nguyen. You would have lost
your... All we are is Dustin Nguyen.
Oh, what were the other songs? Shoot. Hi, I'm Point of No Return.
One was on the radio the other day, because your radio like jumps to decades for some reason. It goes from 60s and the 80s.
It's all over the place. But
yeah.
The best part... we did a big binge of Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Just kind of had it playing all day for a week at least.
The podcast knows.
But so the final countdown comes on multiple times a day. It just makes me like crack up.
That's my big thing that I've been saying because of that episode. That Mr. F.
What else you got, Dave?
I got Starve number 3. From Image. This is another Brian Wood book.
Is that all you read?
Pretty much.
Brian Wood, Jeff Lemire.
Okay. Yeah.
At least he read something.
Oh!
I'll give
too.
Yeah, what did you read? Because you like
that. I've already read two.
It just has a bullet point that says nothing.
I read three books.
Batman, Secret
point
War,
one,
and
nothing.
And you didn't really join in the conversation.
Yeah, I didn't join in on Batman conversation. Did we talk it up enough, Colin?
No, you guys were doing. Well, Adam started saying he had a huge problem with it, so I just kind of backed off. Said that scene in the closet was stupid. Batman came out of the closet. I don't know. I didn't get where you were going with that, but okay.
What podcast are you on?
Geronimo. Dave.
Star number three. This issue is focusing on Chef Gavin and his relationship with his daughter, with his estranged daughter, Angie. It's round three of the Star of Competition, which is called Whole Hog, which is what the issue is titled. And
that's what they have to cook.
That's easy.
They have to cook.
Put it in a blender, make some scrapple.
They have to kill a hog on the air and make three separate dishes, using separate parts of the body. So the chef has his daughter as a sous chef. He could have picked anybody, but he's really trying to connect with his daughter, reconnect with her. And he lets her choose what dishes they're going to cook. And when he says, you know, I could think of 30 dishes I could do that would blow these judges away, but I want you to pick what we're gonna cook. And you know, so of course, you know, his ex-wife's watching on television, and she's not too happy about the situation. And then they show, there's like two pages of showing the pictures of showing the dishes they cook and little recipes, and it's just very different. And I like the whole story of him reconnecting, and it's very heartfelt, and it's a great issue. And the last one, read the X-Files season 11, number one. This was a good issue. The status quo now is Mulder is kind of a fugitive from the government because they view him as stealing state secrets, kind of like an Edward Snowden character, and he's hanging around with this group called Cantus, and they are picking up a satellite that fell to Earth when. They think, in actuality, it is a telescope that has been looking out into deep space. So he's on their mission, and there's a character in the book, Gabriel Praise, who is I forgot about this, but he was in an episode of the show when he was a kid, and he has psychic powers.
Oh, yeah, I remember that kid, yeah.
So he's all grown up
little
now.
Little kid with glasses?
Yeah. So he's in this, he's all grown up now, and he's in this issue and communicating with Scully, who doesn't know where Mulder is. And, of course, you know, the FBI is questioning her on his whereabouts, and the lone gunmen are in this. Mulder brings in the lone gunman to try to figure out. He gets some kind of sensor array from the satellite, and he wants them to figure out what's going on with that. But the last panel really sold me on the next issue because Mulder pulls out his vow of the Peacock family.
Ooh,
okay.
That was one in Fayette County, wasn't it?
That's yeah, messed up. And the next issue is called Home Again.
Oh. Remember that one?
Uh-uh.
So it was with Mama
it
in
is
the bed.
It is
the bed.
Oh, yeah. It is the,
that was one
they
of
never,
that's one messed up.
They never repeated it again, they have said. On
I bet
clock.
We can find it on.
Oh, yeah. It's
Netflix.
On Netflix.
It's
I'm
on, yeah, but then I don't think they ever repeated it after the first time on Fox. They said they wouldn't.
I don't know if they did too many reruns of X-Files, though. Like, when it was done, it was kind of done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like for a little bit...
Well, just when I'm just saying when the season, when they were going through the season.
Yeah.
I don't think they do it like, you know, now TV shows will rerun the whole seasons in the summer.
They don't do reruns anymore.
With a recap, where you can do like a recap of the season real quick. Yeah, they didn't do that like that. Okay, so like this, what season is this called? 11?
Season 11.
Okay, yeah. Now the other issues, they did do 10, right?
They did 10, yeah.
Okay, me and Colin were talking about, we've been watching like a couple episodes here and there. Because it's a good show that you don't have to, like, as long as you're not focusing on those stories where, like, Mulder's trying to figure out who kidnapped his sister.
Yeah, the mythology episodes, yeah.
As long as you watch the other ones, you can watch them whatever order you want.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up the point of that they are going to be bringing out episodes, so that kind of messes up their whole...
Yeah.
But it's kind of not necessarily a season. It's more of like a... I feel like they're doing this just to, like, catch... like bring people in just to see how it would do if they brought out, you know, a series. It's more of like a mini series of what they're doing. But I was wondering how well, if like, is it going to tie in a little bit?
Chris Carter is overseeing the book.
Is overseeing this. Yeah, so that's kind
I don't know how much.
I started.
How much they're
going to
work
issue.
Together or contradict each other or why? Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to wait until won't know until January. I guess.
I started to read the first issue of it. And first couple issues, I liked it, but it was one of those things that was like, I'd like to read this better as a trade. Mm-hmm. I'd like to read it through. We talked about that last week about reading things as trades. And it does. The whole idea of it sounds really good because it's kind of this story that I don't think X-Files really completed itself. It didn't really end like the way it should have. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I thought when watching the show. Like it just kind of ended. And I kind of felt like, oh, well, we didn't really know. And it turned out that Mulder's sister wasn't kidnapped by aliens or whatever, or abducted. And he kind of left. And then having this continuation, I think, is really cool that they're doing that. So, and you talk about it a lot. I might pick up the trades on that at some point.
It was season 10. It was up and down.
Does it feel like it? Like, does it feel like what you're reading? You know how sometimes you have a book like that, and it's just like, does it feel like the television show, or does it feel like the movie?
It does feel like it, because, like, they'll have, like, in all the issues, you know, you have, like, 3 pages of art, and then on the bottom, 3 pages of story, and then on the bottom, it just says the X-Files, and you can picture the theme song, and you get the theme going in your head to get you into the movie.
As long as it translates. Like, I think that's one of our issues with Star Wars, is that it does sometimes doesn't communicate as well. Something like this, I was wondering how that would communicate.
Yeah, I think it translates very well. I like this issue. And, of course, and if you'll get a lot more out of it if you know...
Yeah.
I mean, I
who the Peacock
seen,
family
if,
are.
Yeah. If you know the Peacock
like
family
have
is, if you know who Gabriel Prey is.
It's not something
Prey's
for anybody to just jump on to.
Yeah. This was...
You kind of have to have an understanding.
A little bit of
X-Files.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad that way. I mean, I think you could read it without, with only a partial understanding of X-Files and then the characters are, but.
That's all I have to do. But
it was good. I enjoyed it. That's all I have. Everything
Josh,
you want to
round it out?
Sure. First
you read all
one.
Those?
No.
Holy cow!
That's like 400 books there, man.
Wow.
Constantine, the Hellblazer.
Oh, yeah.
So this book has been really good since the relaunch. This issue takes him back to London and reunites him with Georgiana Snow. And you're getting some flashbacks to when they first met. And what? You're having a seizure over there.
You okay, Colin?
I'm having a flashback.
It's a yawn.
Was it too much brisket?
Well, there's no such thing.
You were about to say, well, maybe.
So you're seeing flashbacks to when they met and cutting to the present day and seeing how, you know, I don't know if hatred's the right word, but, like, she has so much, like, kind of disgust for him, you know, built up throughout the years, and how the effect he's had on people, you know, in their circle and around him. The story in this book, like, it's a really... almost every issue so far has been self-contained. It's building, you know, to a larger story, but each one, you know, reads its own, you know, mini story in this overall arc. The story itself was great. The art was a bit wonky in this issue. Just in, like, the flashbacks, you know, looked fine, but the present day stuff, it just had a weird vibe. Like, when you saw Constantine, he almost looked like very, you know, 80s, the way he was drawn, almost like Max, you know, Headroom, with the way his like hair slicked back and the suit and everything. Just it was a little off.
What?
Yeah.
I want to look that up on Netflix.
Max Headroom.
Yeah. Max Headroom.
It was a good
show. I said the story was great, just the art was a little weirdness issue, but overall this has been
turned on TV now.
This has been one of my favorite of the new books. Definitely feels more like, you know, a John Constantine book than the last one did. Justice League United. So this picks up where the last issue left off. This, you know, team that was assembled on the fly. There's a field, like a group in the field on this, you know, mission. They're in this side, this like living island, and trying to, you know, prevent it from taking off and spreading. Like within the island, it's like they're fighting, you know, seem like cells, almost like antibodies. They're trying to kill them off. They keep calling it an island, but it's almost like just a large organism that they're inside of. Swamp Thing is somehow fused with the island itself. And then you have Poison Ivy and Mara and Equinox and Etrigan. Is his name right? Etrigan the Demon? Yeah. Are all, you know, there trying to fight it. And then you have other members of, you know, Justly United. Stargirl is out. Looks like she's recruiting members of the Doom Patrol for an upcoming, you know, mission. And then you have Alana Strange and Animal Man that are in the Zeta Beam, which the Zeta Beam we saw in the previous arcs of JLU, which was played just like a, you know, transporter.
Yeah.
But they're showing now that it's more than that, that the technology they're using to transport just kind of piggybacks on the Zeta Beam. And Adam Strange has kind of been lost in the Zeta Beam, but they find a way to communicate with him. But while he's in there, he's able to see, you know, a lot more and communicate with them. Different, you know, threats are going on, so it's, you know, they're trying to find a way to get him out. But at the same time, he's, you know, much more powerful while he's fused with it.
Because you had both, you had Adam and Alana.
Yeah,
and they were that was the whole thing. That was the Zeta Beam was broken or something. It wasn't working.
So only one
can
be in one spot at a time.
I think they fixed that eventually.
They fixed
it was Brainiac 5 or whatever.
Yeah, they fixed it, but then something happened and he got lost within the Zeta Beam.
Yeah. Huh.
So, but it's...
Who's writing it?
It's Jeff Parker is writing it, and Trevor Foreman is on art. The art overall is fantastic. Like, the page layouts, the backgrounds, the scenery, everything is gorgeous. But the way Trevor Foreman draws some of the characters is a bit wonky.
Yeah.
Like, in a few of the panels, Mira looks like she is China from like, wrestling China. Like, her arms are just so...
Oh, I thought you meant the country.
She's like, wow, they really
do. No, like, her arms are so jacked in some of these panels. I'm looking like, that does not look like Mira at all. But then...
Couldn't see Mira being all jacked up.
Everything... Before we leave, let me grab it and shape
it. Yeah,
But everything else around the characters looks phenomenal. Like, it's a beautiful book with, like, one thing, like, right in the center of the page, that looks off.
Yeah.
The story itself, I like the story. In this issue, there's a lot of them, like, telling you what just happened. So you see it there, then they, you know...
A lot of that old style, like,
yeah.
You know, they used to write it as if you didn't read it.
Yeah, which is
like
a little bit weird.
It's
a little bit weird, but it's, you know... It's not bad. It doesn't make the issue less enjoyable. It's just a bit odd. But overall, I like this approach with having this being kind of a, you know, rotating cast of characters, with the core characters being, you know, Equinox, Stargirl, Adam and Alana Strange, and Animal Man.
So they kind of kept some of that Jeff Lemire stuff.
They kept those characters. It's good to see.
Is Green Arrow still in it?
No.
Because he was part of
it. Haven't seen him in it so far. It's good to see Equinox being more fleshed out, which... You know, Jeff Lemire made a big deal about this new character, then didn't really do hardly anything with her.
No, nothing. Well, you know, I think he was ready. He was heading out because, like, that's when he went over to.
Yeah, I guess, but
Hawkeye. It's got to be restarted.
I mean, even from the very beginning, he would have, you know, just a tiny bit about her. Then everything else in the book would be about these more established characters.
Yeah,
it just seemed a bit odd.
And Jeff Lemire purposely put in both of those Green Arrow and.
Animal Man, because those were characters he was working with at that time. And he had a whole story with, after Animal Man ended, he had a whole thing that he was trying to tell where the Red went all the way into space.
Yeah.
And he left that door open. I thought he would continue at least.
Yeah, which I would love to see that.
Because he betrayed her. Because at the end, he didn't come back. And he was supposed to come back and take over for her or learn the ways there. And he didn't do it.
I would love to see that.
And I don't know if we will unless somebody else does pick it up. But I think Jeff Lemire was wanting to do something more with that with Justice League United. And then he switched over. So
yeah. But it's good. I like the book. It's definitely... stands out from the other Justice League books. I like there's no huge characters
on the team. I like that too.
This team is all like these more, you know.
It's kind of like the idea of Justice League International, the original Justice League International, where it's these just your basic members. No, none of the big characters that they use. And it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Blue Beetle, if he was in it, he'd fit in really well.
Yeah, and even at the end of this sets up Batgirl being, you know, recruited for the next mission they have to go on. It's really good.
It's like they're wanting to create a non-government involved Justice League. Yeah. You know? So it's a good idea.
It's a fun book. Then Unity, number 21. I love most of the Valiant books, and I've loved Unity. What? But, man, I kind of hate this arc's guts. Like, this arc has... this arc could be great. What's going on? We have this new character, Warmonger, who is an immortal, it seems. She almost seems very similar to Eternal Warrior in her skill set and the fact that she's, you know, been around for so long. But you find out, you know, hence her name, that throughout time she has just tried to, like, start these various conflicts. And right now she's trying to bring about World War III. But my problem is that each issue has followed this exact same formula where she goes after one member of Team Unity. She spends most of the issue monologuing a portion of her history, and then at the end, you know, gets in some, you know, battle with that member and then completely destroys them and moves on to the next one. And each issue has been the exact same so far. And
if it's not broke, why fix it?
It is broke. It's not working.
It's so predictable, it's not enjoyable.
One, I don't care for a character just monologuing the entire time. Oh, yeah. Like, that's stupid. If you want to tell the character's history, then do, like, a whole issue doing her background or doing her origin. Yeah. Don't, you know, just have her monologue to these characters. Because each issue is just this character sitting there listening to her tell her history. And then finally, the fight starts. Even at one point, Eternal Warrior almost interrupts her, and she kind of, like, scolds him for interrupting her monologue, and then goes right back to monologuing again.
And it's almost just, like, they're making it a joke with the issue.
But it's weird, and the character itself is really interesting, and I like her backstory, I just don't like how they're presenting it, and how each issue is the exact same format. And the other issue I have with this one is... the art is different in the flashbacks to her history and what's going on currently. And the art, I don't mind if it's done properly, but the art for the modern panels is, it's really different. And
sometimes
in my opinion,
it's
really
they
bad.
They make it like in a way that, like Hawkeye did a good job. Where Hawkeye did a good job. Art, but then the flashbacks were like this, like color
like
pencil watercolor. Shade,
watercolor,
yeah. It was a really well done.
Yeah, this, like, the art in her past seems, you know, more traditional, like modern comic art. And the art for the modern time period, it's very scratchy, but almost like a, you know, cartoony kind of scratchy. And it doesn't make sense. Like, seeing these two characters that are these immortal warriors, just who are normally seen in these bloodbath situations... kind of drawn like a goofy way. It did not work for me. I really didn't enjoy this issue a whole lot. I hope that this arc redeems itself in some way, but this has been the first arc where I just really didn't like how it was presented.
This is the worst I've heard you talk about.
I mean, the content is fine. It's just how this arc's being presented. It's really just grinding on me. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
So. I think it's the last one that I wanted to
mention.
Write
a letter, Josh. Stop and be like,
Well, this is what I thought.
Stop living in the past, Josh.
Well, no, but I
yeah,
well, I'm always
come on.
I'm
yeah,
always
email.
Yeah,
rah rah valiant, but
yeah,
I want to see if it's one I don't like.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know what? I'm sure something better will be out next week. What's coming out next week?
Hey. Yeah.
Thank you.
You did it because you thought you were going to get caught, right?
No.
Okay.
Okay, the book everybody's been waiting for, Ant-Man Last Days, number one.
What?
I mean, they've already announced the new number one, but no, we need this Last Days number one.
Why is
I'm not bitter.
One?
It says last bitter. Days. You need to know what happened on
right.
the day.
Why did
the
they make this
happened?
One a number one?
I don't know.
Because
it comes after the annual.
Yeah, they ended the normal series.
Yeah.
They need to get somebody working for them to know something.
Is this a one shot?
I believe so, but I'm not 100%
sure.
That
makes sense, I guess.
Last Days number two?
Yeah. Yeah, but
it's ongoing.
It could be like Monday, Tuesday.
Last Day.
Batman Arkham Knight Genesis, which I'm guessing is a video game book.
Yeah.
Book of Death, Fall of Ninjak. Poor guy. Kind of like that.
Didn't he just get a book?
Yeah, it's
he
done.
Just, he
it's
slipped over. And fell in the ice, right?
Canceled. Done. Civil War number 3. Cyborg number 2. Dead Drop number 4. Deadpool Secret Wars. Drive number 1, which I guess is like a sequel to a movie that came out like 3 or 4 years ago. So, timely.
Okay.
E is for Extinction. E-Man, the early years trade. That's for me. E-Man was a book I read long ago, First Comics. It was a new one, and then before that, I think it was a Charlton book. Just a really fun character. Basically, living energy comes from outer space and lands on Earth and then takes the form of a man because that to fit in. And he's got a girl named Nova Kane. She's a stripper. And
just, now we know why you like it.
Yeah, but great Joe.
That seemed really weird for the comics code period.
Great Joe Staton art. And before that, I think it was Nick Cootie art back in the 70s when it started, 70s, 80s.
She was a go-go dancer.
Well, probably 70s because right. I was reading in the 80s, but I saw that. I didn't remember ordering it, but I know First is bringing some of that back, so that just made me happy. So maybe. Fight Club number 4. Godzilla in Hell number 2. That one sold out immediately.
Godzilla in Hell.
I heard nothing but good about this, even on other podcasts. Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra. That's a Secret Wars tie-in. Can't be any worse than Howard the Human. Hellboy in Hell number 7. It's been a little while since number 6, so I'm glad to see that coming out.
I wonder what happened to Hank Johnson.
Well, I know you are.
Still going on?
Yeah.
Do you think he's like a partner with Hydra
that
Bob?
Years ago,
yeah, I know. Yeah, a while ago. Image giant size artist proof edition Walking Dead number 1, where you know the artist edition books.
Yeah.
This is actually issue number 1 full size.
Okay.
Of the original art. Inhumans by Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee, trade paperback. This makes me happy. The fact that it's $35 doesn't make me happy. But this was probably one of the best. Well, the best Inhuman story I've ever read. It made... I read it. I'd got it in issues.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
neat Jay Lee
that.
Art. But I didn't know anything about the Inhumans, but this was excellent. So, and it's...
That wasn't that long ago. Maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah. No, more than that.
More?
Well, because I've been open almost 9. So, but before that, but it was just really good. And since they brought all the Inhuman stuff back, it's only been available as a hardcover. So I was just really happy to see it. It was a 12-issue series, so 35 is not horrible. But
is that the $110 hardcover?
No, it's not that bad. I think I have a copy of the hardcover. It's not. It might be 50.
Oh, okay.
But still, it's too much to say, oh, you want to read a good Inhuman story, try this.
Yeah.
Justice League of America 3, where we can see what's going on with Rao. Marvel Zombies number 3, MODOK Assassin number 4 of 5. There's still more to come. Ninjax.
That's Fighter's MODOK.
Yeah, but he's dead. So.
Old Man Logan number 4, Over the Garden Wall, which was a real surprise hit for Boom. I guess it's based on a cartoon, but so they're doing another one of those. Previews, new previews next week. Speaking of which.
By the time you've heard this...
No, I'll get this up early, but the orders are due Thursday, so if you can let me know if there's anything you want. Mostly, like I said, toys, t-shirts, those kind of things. Comics, it helps.
As soon as you're done listening to this, place your order for the previews.
Well, just let me know if there's anything you want.
As soon as you're done listening to this.
Josh's favorite?
Unless you listen after Thursday.
Yeah.
Prez number 3.
Yeah, that's been a good book.
That's
What? Sherlock Holmes, the 7% solution.
Got a little high pitched on that.
Star Wars Lando again already. Oh, wow. It was just last week.
I wish they'd get
got it again.
A handle on when they're bringing books out.
Yeah.
Stringers number 1.
I do too. It's awful.
Superman 43.
I think I got reading your vowels. Right.
Tomorrow's, which is one that I read number 1 of, that was good. Number 2 is coming out next week.
Will you read number 2?
Bet it's a big number.
I'll try. We Are Robin, number 3, is next week. And then We Can Never Go Home, is number 4, is next week. I've really been liking that one. You've liked that one.
Yeah, yeah. I've been waiting for that.
X-Men 92, number 3. No, I was just saying, the one book I read last night was Young Terrorists, and that's from Black Mask. And that was really good. I was confused by it because it came polybagged, and it was really strange. And there was a board in the back that covered up the barcode. It was one of those, okay, what's going on here? So I took it home because I do like Black Mask. I like those guys a lot. And I took it home to read it, and I'm like, okay. So I open, take it out of the bag, and I'm like, okay, what in here is so bad that they had to bag this thing? And I read it, and there wasn't anything. And then I got an email from them saying, oops, we goofed. Like a select market, like just one store chain or something, they needed to bag it because there was some nudity. And the printer bagged the entire run.
There was that's a cover that had some nudity.
No, inside had some nudity, so maybe it needed to be bagged. It was in a clear bag, but maybe that was sent to like Barnes and Noble or something.
Okay.
But instead, the printer bagged the entire print run.
Okay,
how expensive do you think that is?
Probably not cheap. So after I got the email, I unbagged them here and put them. Okay. I mean, it's a big thick, like 56 pager. It was I think $6.99 or $7.99. It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
The cover looked interesting.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And I got one of the variant covers. It was like a 1 in 5 or a 1 in 10. So that was neat. Pirates win.
Wow.
So yeah, I've already read 2 books for next week, so get off my case. I'll read Justice League. Well, I can't read tonight because I got to finish the order because I got to figure out how to order
Justice
these.
Justice League was so good.
Got to order these damn Marvel books.
Where can I find you?
Well, you can find me at the store Tuesday through Saturday. Just come in. I'll probably be
You'll
here.
You'll be here at the store?
Be here.
That's it.
They don't want to find you specifically.
Don't they?
Online. We can find information.
No.
Let's say they don't want to come in here, but they need to get you their preview order.
Oh, my gosh.
How would they do that?
Well, you could always... Go to the website. Everything is on the website at www.pittsburghcomics.com. Actually, I don't even think
it is. But
what
if they don't want
to do the
work?
It's just pittsburghcomics.com.
Go to the website.
And everything's there because someone has put all these great links and information there. Thank you, Josh. But you can also find me on Facebook at Pittsburgh Comics. You can find me on Twitter at PGH Comics.
If they want to see pictures that you post, where can they
Instagram
see that?
PGH Comics as well, although I need to do more of that. I have been having fun with all these collections coming in. I had a real nice Silver Age collection come in Saturday. So
find all Colin's selfies.
Yeah, me and Maggie. Yeah.
Me and Maggie, me and Kraken.
Colin has the duck face going on.
Maggie has the duck face. That's the funny thing. But you can always email me at colin@pittsburghcomics.com.
I thought she had the dog face, but yeah.
Or come to the store and say
call
hi.
Her a dog. It's a podcast.
So we'll talk to you next week. Get those previews orders in. Thanks. Yeah.
car. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take you back to days of future past in my rap. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beat. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, doubly pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like. On these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. A second to Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keep